You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So I say D, I say D-O, D-O-D, D-O-D-G, D-O-D-G-E-R-S, team, 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 all.
Yo, 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 Dodger fans. Welcome to Locked On Dodgers. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. Locked On, your team every day. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Built Bars are the best tasting protein bars on the market, and you can get $10 off your first box with the promo code Locked On at BuiltBar.com. This is the daily podcast covering the Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. I'm Vince Samperio, Chavez Ravine Fiends. And I'm glad to be back with my friend, Mr. Jeff Snyder of Baseball Essential. Jeff, how are you doing?
I'm good, Vince. I'm glad to have you back, too.
Yeah. Yesterday's episode, like I said, didn't need too much back and forth. You did a good job of telling a story that I'm not really sure, you know, how many people really knew the ramifications of not signing a prospect a year before. So that was
fun. Yeah, it's a fun one to think about.
Yeah, definitely. So today we're going to get into the Dodgers, the third Dodgers Zoom party meeting, whatever you want to call it. And then we're going to talk a lot about kind of the latest developments in MLB's plan to try to come back. But before that, a quick reminder to subscribe to Locked On Dodgers wherever you get your podcasts. And when you get in your car or if you're at home, tell your smart device to play a podcast, Locked On Dodgers. All right, Jeff. So Monday night was the third Dodgers Zoom party and had some big names. Walker Buehler, Justin Turner, Gavin Lux, Matt Beatty, Eric Gagne, and I'm missing Dave Roberts and probably missing a couple others. But yeah, it was, I watched it. This is the first one I actually got to see in real time. It was cool. Not really any, wasn't any really issues this time with, or one couple issues, but nothing big enough to take away from the Zoom meeting. I do think was a little too much Ken Jeong talking once he came on. Ken Jeong was a guest. He came on, asked him a few questions, and he chimed in maybe a little more than you know I would have liked, considering that the other players weren't talking as much. I do think they could get the players better involved, or you know, ask them a few more questions rather than, you know, Matt Beatty was sitting there for a long time, didn't really say much. Walker Buehler was sitting there for a while, didn't really say much. Gavin Lux as well. So I think they better integrate that a little bit. But other than that, it was fun and just made me miss baseball even more than I thought I already did. Just seeing the guys and, you know, them talking about wanting to come back and being ready to come back. And, you know, all this other talk of baseball maybe coming back soon. It just gets you anxious. Oh, Mookie Betts was on. That's the other one. Yeah, Mookie Betts was a man of a few words, but he definitely, you know, he shines. He's a star in his own right. And, you know, he's, even though he didn't say too much, there's the way he carries himself is pretty good. And that's why I tweeted out, I need the Dodgers to lock him up already, just in case we don't get to see him play this year for the Dodgers. But yeah, other than that, Zoom party thing was fun. And I'm assuming they're going to keep doing it. I think that over 15,000 people this time tuning in. So the numbers just keeps growing every week.
Yeah. I was registered for this one. I actually didn't end up catching. I had family stuff going on. So once I knew you were going to be in there, I took this one off. I would have liked to have seen Mookie. Mookie's always interesting because he's not shy necessarily, but he's soft-spoken. And you know, obviously he's never played a regular season game for the Dodgers yet. So even though he's taken that leadership role in the clubhouse a little bit, I imagine it's still a little bit weird for him interacting with Dodger fans in that way. As for Ken Jeong, it's a tricky balance when they bring on comedians, because comedians are used to being the center of attention and the star of the show and talking a lot and making people laugh. And that's good. But, you know, they do always. We saw it with George Lopez. He had a little trouble finding the balance, too. Cedric the Entertainer was just kind of a useless addition to the second one. And so, yeah, I'm not surprised to hear that Ken Jeong maybe said a little bit more than would have been ideal, just because that's kind of the nature of being a funny guy.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, it's cool seeing these Dodger fans. I mean, these guys are, and I don't know how much they follow the day-to-day, but when they do go to the games, you do see them there for most of the game, and they are at a decent amount of games. So it's cool to have those kind of fans as well. Moving on from the Zoom meeting, we're going to get into our Dodgers What If of the day a little earlier today. And I had one that actually involves a player on the Dodgers currently. And there's a few guys you could maybe do this with. But David Price. So David Price was actually drafted by the Dodgers in 2004 coming out of high school in the 19th round. He didn't end up signing, went to Vanderbilt, and then was picked by the Rays in the first round of the 2007 draft later on. And obviously we know kind of where his career has gone from there. But this one, and there might be another one we get into later this week or next week if it continues. But, you know, there you can go back and probably find a lot of guys that were drafted, not just by the Dodgers, but by other teams that could have kind of changed the projections of certain teams. And, you know, David Price definitely could have helped those Dodgers in 2008, 2009. Maybe not too much 2008, but, you know, he did pitch in 2008 for the Rays and pitched only a 5 games, but he pitched pretty well. But he pitched in that postseason, and he only allowed, I believe, 1 run in like almost 6 innings of work in that 2008 run that the Rays had to the World Series. So, you know, it's possible they could have had Kershaw and David Price both helping out that year. And I don't know if it would have been enough to beat the Phillies, but it definitely could have helped them maybe get a little bit better. And just on from there, I mean, you know, imagine a duo of Kershaw and David Price at the top of the rotation. You know, maybe the Dodgers don't miss the playoffs after 2009 for a couple of years. Maybe they build a little bit more since they have that top two tandem. That would have been paying for pennies on the dollar, basically, on their rookie deals. So I think, you know, that's one where it really stands out, where a guy, you know, was drafted 19th round isn't high, but it, you know, it isn't super low. Obviously, he was committed to Vanderbilt, which is one of the top programs in the country. So, you know, it's understandable that he wouldn't sign. But, you know, it's fun to look back and think, you know, what if he would have signed? The Dodgers would have had a crazy duo at the top of the rotation for a lot of years. And obviously, it would have affected maybe some stuff going down the line, because maybe he doesn't sign with the Red Sox. Maybe the Red Sox aren't looking to unload his deal. And the other side of it is, you know, maybe the Dodgers don't end up getting Mookie Betts. But potentially, you know, they could have had some other things come their way, or other guys come their way if they could have signed. So just one of those what ifs that, you know, I didn't really think about before. I knew he was drafted by the Dodgers, but I never really thought – I never matched up the timelines, I guess.
Yeah, one of the themes of yesterday's episode was that things that seem bad at the time can turn out good. And this is a good example there of, you know, like you said, we don't know what would have happened if they had Price, if things would have been, you know, maybe they would have been better, but maybe that changes something else too, you know. The other one you were going to mention that you said maybe later this week, is he a first baseman?
Yeah.
Okay. I won't say anything about that then. But yeah, one thing I also didn't mention on yesterday's episode, that when the Dodgers drafted Luke Hochevar in 2005, that was actually the second time they drafted him, because they drafted him out of high school too. And so they had 2 chances at him. And if he had signed either time the Dodgers drafted him, they wouldn't have ended up with Clayton Kershaw.
Yeah, so just one of those things that you look back on. And like I said, I'd look back on it, but didn't match up the timelines, and that would have been an interesting way to go about it. All right, we're going to talk next about the new updates that we've gotten for the baseball season possibly getting underway. But before that, let's talk a little bit about Built Bars. Built Bars, as I said, are the best tasting protein bars on the market. And they got a lot of other good things about them too. Not only are they the best tasting, but they are, you know, healthy. There's not a lot of protein bars are kind of a mixed bag when it comes to, are they healthy or not? Yes, they have protein, Yes, you know, they're good if you're working out before or after, but sometimes they're high in calorie, high in sugar, and high in all that stuff. Built bars are not. They're low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber. They're pretty much the, you know, Clif bars are another ones that people might like, but these definitely got them beat in the health department and definitely got them beat in the taste department. There's a bunch of different flavors and they all have chocolate. So if you're a big chocolate person, Built bars are for you. And if you want to try a box of Built bars, you can get $10 off your first order right now. You go to builtbar.com and use the promo code Locked On. That's promo code Locked On for $10 off at builtbar.com. After you're done ordering your Built Bar, you can get an audiobook of 24 life stories and lessons from the Say Hey Kid, all about Willie Mays, a memoir that is reflective and inspirational. He talks about all the inspirations and influences guiding him on and off the field throughout his life and his career. Willie Mays is widely regarded as one of the greatest all-around players in baseball history, and this book can give people of all ages his lifetime of experience meeting challenges with positivity, integrity, and triumph. There's a foreword read by Bob Costas, a bonus conversation with Willie Mays and his co-author John Shea, and it's a perfect time with Father's Day coming up next month, or just with a lot of more time on your hands in this stay-at-home / quarantine, whatever you want to call it, life. So 24 is the inspiring story of one of sports fans' favorite living legends. You can buy the audiobook edition of 24 right now, wherever audiobooks are sold. And keep it locked on, Dodgers. Okay, Jeff. So, MLB, the owners have agreed to a proposal for the 2020 season. It has to go through the players union. It'll be presented to the players union sometime this week. Basically kind of the same stuff we've been seeing: a regular season beginning early July with about 80 games. The teams would be regionalized, so the Dodgers would be playing AL West and NL West teams. It would be a lot of three-game series. It says 4 3-game series against each division opponent, 2 3-game series against non-division opponents. The teams would try to play in as many home parks as possible, and expanded playoffs going from 5 teams in each league to 7 teams, with the best record in each league getting a bye and going straight to the division series. No fans, so the players would be asked to accept a further reduction in pay, agreeing to maybe a set percentage of revenues for this season only. The players union, Tony Clark, basically said, I don't think that's on the table for them. And then today, or Tuesday for you guys listening, it appears that the stay-at-home order in Los Angeles County will be extended through the end of July, which might make some murky waters for the Dodgers. But Jeff, yeah, well, there's a lot to unpack here. I'll kind of let you unpack it as you want.
Yeah, I was pleased to see that the proposal they finally agreed on among ownership, it doesn't have that dumb 3-10-team division thing. It basically, they did what I was saying they should do, which is, sure, you can play the games geographically, only play your own division and the corresponding division in the other league, but keep the leagues and divisions, because I think that's really important to say, you know what, the World Series needs to be between the American League and the National League. So this maintains that. I'm not sure exactly, because they said an 82-game season, but that description is only 78 games, because 12 games against each division opponent is 48 games, and then 6 games against each of the 5 teams in the other league, that's 30 games. So that's 78 games, so I don't know if they would throw in 1 4-game series against each of the division opponents to get those extra 4 games. I guess that's probably what they do. Yeah, so that makes sense. The big thing, the big backlash, I don't know if backlash is quite the word, but concerns from players. Sean Doolittle had a lengthy Twitter thread that was very logical, of course. He's a smart guy, talking about the concerns. You know, his wife has some underlying health issues. Obviously, they're concerned about, you know, they'd have to be tested pretty much daily and they're concerned about taking tests from the public. So making sure that if they're really taking, because if you have, what is it, you know, basically 900 players taking a test every day, that's thousands and thousands and thousands of tests over the course of the season. And so they obviously want to make sure that they are not reducing the availability of tests to the public, putting anybody in harm's way there. One of Doolittle's concerns had to do with being in the locker room, just, you know, because people can be asymptomatic. And so, you know, by the time somebody tests positive, they've probably transmitted it to somebody else already. And so there's a lot of legitimate concerns. John Heyman reported, I had to go on a, open up a different browser because John Heyman has me blocked on Twitter. But I did it because I could tell that he was saying something important. And he said that Tuesday's talks, they didn't even get to the money side of things, which is going to be a sticking point. We can talk more about that in a minute. But he said that he said MLB and the players union talked a lot about the most important issue today, health and safety. There was talk about protocols, logistics, and especially testing. There was some economic talk as well, but no proposal about revenue sharing or salary reductions yet. MLB does believe they will be able to acquire adequate testing, which is an absolute necessity to make this work. Without enough testing, they won't play. So it seems like, you know, I don't know. Part of me thinks, well, they're taking a good approach to this, you know, the talks. Obviously, it's going to be a little bit contentious, or at least it's not going to be super smooth coming to an agreement. But at least they're talking about the most important things first. But once they get to that money talk, it is going to be contentious, I think.
Yeah. I mean, just going on the point of, you know, in the locker room, if one guy gets it, you know, it's probably already spread. We've seen how fast those bugs spread in the locker rooms during, you know, spring training or even during the season. One guy gets sick and, you know, basically 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 guys get sick pretty quick thereafter. Obviously, they would be a lot more cleaner and have a lot of different, you know, it'd be way different than it would have before. So it might slow that spread. But that, you know, that's definitely the biggest part of this is the health part. I know we are all excited to try to get baseball back, but you know, that's a big part of it, is that these guys need to be sure that they're safe and their families and everyone else is safe. But yeah, going to the money part, so the players agreed back in March to prorate their salaries on a per game basis. The league wants to revisit that, saying that if they play without fans, they'll be losing too much money, which is why the revenue sharing is kind of brought up. And then there's been, you know, a lot of talk from those in the media and around baseball, how the owners, baseball, MLB and the owners kind of put their things out there that they kind of have an agreement already in place for their side of things, in order to kind of put the onus on the players to accept, or it looks like they're being, you know, greedy or whatever else. But that's kind of something that's normal. Most of the time people do side with owners over players when it comes to money, but this will be interesting. Like I said, once it gets to the money part, that's really where this is going to be make or break, regardless of, you know, if they secure all the testing and everything else is perfect, they're still going to have to agree to this money part, and who knows how that's going to go.
Yeah, one of Heyman's other tweets, he said, MLB's position is that it will lose more money if they play games without fans and pay prorated salaries than if they don't play at all. Thus, owners are saying they will not pay prorated salaries. I hope that Heyman is misinterpreting something or projecting or something, because that is stupid thinking. And, you know, I think most owners of baseball teams are successful businessmen. You know, some of them, like, you know, the Dodgers owners, they're venture capitalists, which is different. They, you know, they are investing other people's money, which they're good at, but they haven't necessarily run a successful business. But I think a lot of the owners have, and it's hard to picture a successful business person being so short-sighted to think that only this season matters. You know, if the season doesn't happen because of COVID, the fans will come back. If the season doesn't happen because owners and players couldn't agree on how much to pay, the fans will not all come back. And so when they say we'll lose money this year if we pay the prorated salaries, but we don't have fans in the seats. Well, yeah, you will. But the fans will come back. And next year and the year after that, you'll go back to raking in money hand over fist like you always do. But if there's no baseball season and the reason is because of financial greed, a lot of fans will not come back. 1994 was a killer for a lot of people. Some people never came back, and it took years and years to get people back. It took steroids to get people back, ultimately. And so I hope the owners aren't actually so short-sighted to think. And you know, I don't take owner's side. I generally believe in any situation in looking at both sides of things and making a decision. And that's controversial sometimes. Even in politics, I don't care what the letter next to a person's name is. I care what their policies are. And it's the same thing here. Sometimes I take ownership side. Sometimes I take the player side. Sometimes I'm in the middle. But in this case, I think the fact is part of being a business owner is assuming that risk. And that's why I don't have a problem with owners making a lot of money, because there is that risk involved. And this is one of those risks. And you can't expect to pawn off these losses on the players when you haven't been sharing the profits with the players. You know, it's not like if you unexpectedly make an extra $100 million in a season, you don't say, okay, we'll give $50 million of that to the players, just give everybody a couple $1 million bonus. They never do that. That's not the way it works. And this is why, because when the risk part comes up, it's on ownership to absorb that. And that means taking a loss this year, guys.
Yeah. Yeah. When it comes down to it, it's basically what it is. And like I said, when you are a business owner, you take that risk, and sometimes it doesn't work out for you. But at the end of the day, with something like Major League Baseball, like you said, they have some kind of a season this year. And then whenever fans are allowed back, fans are going to pack most of those stadiums. Maybe even more so now, who knows. But if not, and like I said, it comes down to they don't play, and they could have played, and other leagues are playing without fans or whatever the restrictions are because of COVID, then it's definitely a bad look. And at this point, I don't think there would be much in baseball's favor to kind of get those fans back. I don't think there's going to be a new influx of them allowing steroids or anything to that extent. Even a juiced baseball hasn't really done the trick, if that's the case, the last couple years. So this is kind of, you know, one of those not necessarily make or break, but it's definitely going to be a big monumental impact if things don't go the way they should go.
Yeah, MLB might have to take the controversial step of hiring a commissioner who loves the game of baseball. Hashtag Jeff for commissioner. But yeah, it's ridiculous. And hopefully, like I said, hopefully Heyman misread the room or something, and cooler heads will prevail, because what Heyman is saying reflects some major stupidity on the part of ownership.
Yeah, and obviously things like that get leaked for certain reasons. You know, these guys aren't telling John Heyman this stuff just to tell him. They want, you know, the certain things to be out there in the world. So that partially part of it probably as well. So we'll see what happens. I'm sure there'll be more talks this week. I don't know if they'll have the agreement this week, but they'll definitely be talking about it this week, and we'll see where it goes from there.
Yeah, and it's worth noting also, taking that one step further, John Heyman specifically is Scott Boras's puppet. And so a report like this that makes ownership look bad when the other side is Scott Boras, coming from John Heyman, you have to take this with many, many grains of salt, because it would definitely be in Scott Boras's interest to have a report like this come out that makes ownership look bad. And since we know for a fact that John Heyman and Scott Boras are lovers in the nighttime, I think that's very likely what's happening here.
Yeah. All right, Jeff, any last things before we head out?
No, I guess the one other thing, as long as we're talking about Heyman, the one other thing, talking about the LA saying they're on lockdown for a few more months, Heyman said that won't affect MLB either. They could still play games at Dodger Stadium without fans, and they're, you know, that's a possibility, or the Dodgers just play somewhere else. Obviously, I want them playing at Dodger Stadium. Most of all, I want them playing at Dodger Stadium with me there, but but I don't think that's actually going to impact MLB's thinking very much. I thought it was interesting that the plan that ownership agreed to kind of basically said, hopefully in their own stadiums, but they seem committed to moving forward, even if, say, New York isn't ready and the Mets and Yankees have to play in Florida or have to share stadiums with other teams or whatever. They seem committed to moving forward, even if not everybody can play at home. And I wondered about that because it's definitely, there's a, obviously if there are fans, it would be a bigger deal, but you know, the Yankees not being able to play in Yankee Stadium is a disadvantage to them, but you know, they got to do what they got to do if they want to play, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. If anything, Arizona is already starting to open up again. So the Dodgers can easily go over there.
Yeah, if it stays open.
Yeah, but yeah, thank you for listening. That'll do it for today's episode. We'll be back tomorrow. The only thing we know is that we will have a what if for you, but not sure if it'll be a whole episode or just part of more talk. So we'll see when we get there. Make sure to subscribe to Locked On Dodgers wherever you get your podcast, or Apple if you have access to it. You can also rate and review on there. Make sure you're downloading and listening every day. And make sure you're telling your friends and family about us. I know there's probably people looking for ways to kill time. And hey, we got you for 20 to 35 minutes every weekday to kill some time if you need. So make sure you do that. If you want to follow us on social media, we're on Twitter and Instagram at Locked On Dodgers. Jeff is on Twitter at SnyDog. I'm at Vince Samperio. Any other questions, comments, concerns, or things you might want us to talk about, you can hit all those DMs there, or you can call and leave us a voicemail or shoot us a text at 323-863-LOCK or via email lockedondodgers@gmail.com. We're here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be with us. When you get in your car, tell your smart device to play a podcast, Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. Have a good one.
And now tell your smart device to play the latest episode of Locked On MLB. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
I say D-O, D-O-D-G-E-R-S. The team that's all heart, all heart and all thumbs. They're my Los Angeles, your Los Angeles, our Los Angeles.
Do you think we'll really win the pennant?
Bye!